Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Well, good evening, everybody that's listening in to another night of the Wise Women Media Radio Show. And we want to thank our sponsors, which would be Be Here Monsters, Roundtree 7, Daughters of Isis, the Hoodooed Blog, Power New Media and Public Relations, Tarot and Stars, Florida Nature Photos. We want to encourage people to go see us at wisewomenmedia.posteris.com. We do have a contribution link at wepay.com. It's linked right up on that page. And please dig deep and send whatever you can so we can keep this show on the air, pay for internet access, and eventually get our own website and domain name. So, again, that's wisewomenmedia.posteris.com. And I want to thank one of my best friends who's on the line with me, Crow. Are you there?
I'm here. Hello, Anita. Hello, everybody.
Oh, hello. And a lot of people will listen to us tonight, but a lot of people will also listen to us on the archives. So this particular show will last forever. Now, sometime close to 9, we'll have a second guest, Joanne Moretti. She will be calling in. She actually had to do a family function, and she was committed to that, so she'll be joining us a little bit later. She hosts a radio show on the Freedomizer Network, the Liberty Underground Moretti Report. And her show, she does a little bit of current events, news, politics, investigative reporting. She's been blogging for over 5 years. She's written over 150 articles. So if you're waiting for her, stay on this channel. She'll be on shortly, and she'll be able to answer your questions. But in the meantime, Crow, tell us a little bit about what you do. And I do want to let people know out there that you are one of my bestest friends in the whole wide world. And this is your first time on the air as a host. So how do you feel about that?
Well, that is true, and I'm honored both to hear you say that you consider me such a dear friend as I do you. And how I feel about it, well, I've had about 10 minutes to adjust to that because you called me just about that long ago. And I feel great about it. You know, I put it out there to the universe, and hopefully I can put some words out there that will help and stay positive and loving, and that's what I hope for all of us. Positive.
Now, I pulled out some environmental. That's one of the things I liked about that song that I just played. It was Learn How to Love. It was Susan Tedeschi and Derek Trucks, the Tedeschi Trucks Band, some Florida jams. They are incredible. They were incredible. They were incredible separately, and then when they got together, I mean, their latest album is Revelator, and they're out of Jacksonville, Florida, and Susan Tedeschi's been around as a solo musician for a long, long time, and Derek Trucks is actually the nephew of Butch Trucks from the Allman Brothers, and Derek Trucks started playing slide guitar with the Allman Brothers when he was 13 years old. If anybody goes back to the YouTube video and does a search on him, you can find some of those old videos from when he was 13. And a lot of the original band members from the Allman Brothers said that he was like a reincarnation of Dwayne Allman. So definitely a master at the slide guitar, but the two of them together are just doing some amazing music. I pulled out some environmental things to go over, and I figured I would just list a few of these things. One was on an article on Huffington Post, which really surprised me. It says 10 challenges facing South Florida's environment. Some of this was pretty scary. Number one, public lands. In 2005, National Geographic ranked the Florida Everglades Big Cypress National Preserve as the worst preserved national park in North America. That was really, really scary.
Now, may I ask you what they based that decision on? Are you now? As far as how they evaluated that?
I guess this was the National Geographic, so I'm not sure what criteria they actually did. Uh-huh. There's a document. It's a PDF. If you go to this, actually, I'll put the link under the blog post for this show. But the document that's the PDF is Geotourism National Park Scorecard. I'm going to open it up because obviously there's criteria that they used. It's not opening. Oh, there it is. It's
you know,
National
Traveler
Destination Scorecard National Park Regions, and it gives a list of them, and it has them rated on top, still doing okay, facing trouble, and rock bottom. What the panelists were asked, so there was like criteria on a 1 to 10 scale.
Okay,
on
so anyone who wants to know can connect
Pardon?
Through that link on your anyone who wants to know can connect through that link on your
yeah,
site.
Yeah,
yeah.
This was just it's a but anyway, this is from the National Geographic Traveler, must be the magazine, Destination Scorecard National Park Region. So I will put that up so people can look at it.
Listen, while you're mentioning the Huffington Post, I say kudos. The Huffington Post just manages to cover so many amazing topics, and one recently, one of the online groups that I connect with, too, is the Compact, and a quick explanation
for
that is basically, you know, reuse, you know, recycle, refurbish, that type of thing. One of the members of the Compact group wrote an was requested to write an article and wrote a very good article about just that topic on recycling, reusing, refurbishing, repurposing. It puts it all in a nutshell. Very well written article. So if anybody gets a chance, connect with the Huffington Post and look for that article. Compact, C-O-M-P-A-C-T.
On that topic of recycle, reuse, and compact, because we need to put that link too. There's an incredible thing that's being done by the Roosevelt 2.0, which is the only sustainable building in Tampa, Tampa's Ybor City, and it's a public space so people can use it for events, and it's an incredible building. But in any case, they put a lot of work into this. But they have a new initiative. It's called Tampa Upcycle, and this thing is for fashion, art, craft, materials exchange. So you can go there. And for nominal fees, you can pick up, like, yarn, embroidery thread, scrapbooking stuff, knitting needles, anything, your paint, anything that you're using to craft things. So they actually have an event coming up in Tampa at the Roosevelt, I believe, called the 2012 Tampa Etsy Craft Party. And this will be the third annual in Tampa. There's going to be vendors, demonstrators, live music, raffles, local food.
We have a date. Did you give us the date on that, Anita?
That is August 24th from 7 to 11 p.m. And I'm going to try to go to that, but it sounds like so much fun. But it's all put together by Tampa Upcycle and at the Roosevelt 2.0. So I will link this.
Yeah, please do. That sounds like a wonderful idea. You always bring up these very interesting locations. We certainly appreciate that. Can I tell you some of my fun I'm having this summer?
Go ahead. Fill me in.
Yeah, I took out a share in a CSA, Community Supported Agriculture, a local farm. I live in New Jersey and in Burlington County, Township of Chesterfield. There's an organic farm, Fernbrook. And I have been having so much fun there. They really reach out, and it's just not, you know, a pickup location. You go, and yes, there are items that you pick up, but you also go into the fields, which is just wonderful and cathartic, and, you know, puts you in touch with nature. And then, of course, you come home with all these wonderful organic vegetables and herbs, and just get creative. And I cook collard greens for the first time this summer, and I've got zucchini parmesan in the freezer, and it's a good family time. So anyone who's out there, look up CSAs in your location. I encourage it. It's, you know, blessed be the farmer, and especially those that can recycle their seeds. And that is that's one of the things that this farm and many others do. The farmers are recycling their seeds and including you know, they're including the community in their efforts. So,
well, this is an you know, the most revolutionary. Grace Boggs made this statement. Grace Boggs, the incredible, not only writer but activist from Detroit. And she's in her 90s now, but she said the most revolutionary thing you can be doing right now is planting food, is planting things in the ground to become food. So this is the way of the future in agrarian society, because I don't know about you, but I'm already seeing food shortages at the store. So there are things that
I can honestly say that's something I have not become aware of in this location. But what is it that's actually brought that to your attention? What have you seen lack of?
I'm
assuming that's what it is.
Week, I've seen things that are not available, or there's less supply of them. Or when I go into, like for instance, I went in the other day because I've been making my bread. Ever since I bought a $5 bread maker, I've been making my bread, and I have not been buying the store bread. It's very difficult to find bread that doesn't have the high fructose corn syrup in it, which I just don't want to eat, and I don't want to give that to Leon either. And
right.
So I've been making my own bread, and it's been my choice to do that. Also, the loaves are like, especially with the low sugar or low carb loaves for diabetics, those have gone up in price to almost, you know, in some places, almost $4. In some places, it's you can still get it for $2.99, or you can get a 2-for-1 sale, and then you go to the store and it's all sold out. So Florida seems to be an epidemic for diabetes, so these kinds of breads are gone. So I went into the store, in any case, to get flour, and I could not find bread flour. The brand that I normally get was not there, and I got, I had to get a higher priced organic brand, which was a dollar more for each bag. I had to get a whole wheat and a white. So, I would say this is becoming, this is just one particular thing. The latest news reports have said that we're going to have some wheat shortages because of the drought in the middle of the country.
Yes.
That appears to be happening already from what I can see.
Yeah, some of our corn has suffered in this area. I've actually, a lot of corn is grown in New Jersey. You know, a lot of people think of New Jersey as, it's my home state. I was born and raised here, although I've lived in several other areas of the country. But a lot of people tend to think of it as, you know, Trenton and the New Jersey Turnpike, but for those who don't know, New Jersey is actually called the Garden State, and rightfully so. The third state in the Union has a lot of history, and, you know, I'm proud of New Jersey. And there's a lot of wonderful farms here. Not all of them are huge, and, you know, my hat is off to the farmer. It's a lot of work, and especially when you're an organic farmer, there's a lot that you have to deal with. So I really, you know, your heart has to be in it. And it's just wonderful to rub elbows with them and ask them questions and get opinions and recipes and newsletters and just, you know, it's all about the community. It's all about the tribes. You know, stay close. Love one another, because we need each other, whether many of us care to admit it or not. And, you know, the other thing I'd like to bring up is I've done a lot of observing of human behavior, especially since I've been back here to New Jersey, you know, very close to the 9/11 location, and I've noticed how much people have changed, not nearly as trusting and as sharing as they used to be. This is purely just my observation. But, you know, the whole concept of bullying, and, you know, in New Jersey there's been a law passed regarding bullying, and I won't go into all the details, but it's, you know, pretty strict. But I have to say, if all of us... Well, you know, I'll speak for myself as an individual, to be conscious of, you know, how not just how we speak with one another, but how we think about one another, and how we can truly have the choice of changing that perspective to a loving, caring manner. You know, what would you say if you truly had the choice and it came from your heart? And I encourage everyone to ask themselves that, because sometimes the behavior that comes across is is just it's just negative, and it's unfortunate, and it's not a good example. And to the wonderful gifts of the children that we have around us, and apparently what they have to go through. So it's not just in the schools. It's in everybody's behavior, and a conscious effort is definitely needed to make the change. So all I can say is speak from the heart, speak with love, and I guarantee you, you'll be amazed.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm noticing is that a lot of people are feeling that they're getting taken advantage of by the people that do have money, and I'm seeing this in the job, especially in the job front, you know, where the same job that I was, you know, doing for, you know, $12 an hour like 2 years ago, you know, these companies can get away with paying $9 an hour. And that's what they're doing. And even an independent job or a job that you can get on your own as a freelancer, I'm finding that, you know, the people that have money know that the people that don't are really desperate and are at the point where they're going to take just about anything. And they take advantage of that fact. So I hope people really think about that. These are people that can afford to pay people.
Yes.
And you know, in this kind of economic times, I'm sure that that leads to a lot of people being very untrusting.
Right.
And not trusting as much as they would. There's a lot of people that, you know, I would do things for, you know, for free or near for free some years ago. But, you know, now I'm asking, you know, hey, you know, if I do this for you, I have to have an even rate of exchange. So, you know, if I do this, what are you going to do for me?
You know, I like that you say that, though, a rate of exchange, because so much of the focus is on the dollar. And, you know, I was just a couple of days ago, you had on Facebook, you had posted the site for the speech at Elmhurst that Naomi Wolf gave, which, by the way, was fascinating,
right.
And I encourage people to look at to view that. If you can also put that on your radio station site as a link, I think people would find it just enlightening, inspiring, encouraging, intelligent, and just common sense. And one of the things she says is, you know, the dollar, money is not the enemy. Money is neutral, which brings us, at least it brought me to question, well, what does that mean? Where does that leave us? So here you have this neutral entity. So it's a matter of, I guess you have to ask yourself, when I use this, when I feel I need this, whatever this money may imply to me personally, what is my intention? And I encourage, again, everyone to ask yourself, and don't ask it just once, because many times when we ask ourselves a question, such as in this example of what is my intention when I spend a dollar or want to gain a dollar or whatever, what is my purpose? How far am I willing to go to get that? What am I willing to do for that? What do I really want to do for that? And ask yourself this not just once, but many times, because we fool ourselves. We give ourselves the question we think we are the answer we want to hear, or we think we should be saying. But sometimes we have to say, you know what? I need to rethink this. And do I really need it? How much do? Because again, with the compact, going back to the compact, as the group, as I was saying, with, you know, not spending, you know, the money on new all the time, but looking for something that's used and often in better shape or better craftsmanship than what we are getting today on new items that are costing us quite a bit of money. One of the wonderful benefits from that is you find that you have more money for the things you want to do. You know, that home you want to get, that vacation you want to take with your family to enjoy, the share that you want to purchase at a CSA, or whatever it is you want. And you have to ask yourself, you know, again, I know I'm referring to several individuals, but one of the things that I know, I'm not quoting this correctly, but that Starhawk had written was, to paraphrase it, live every day as scrupulously honest as possible.
Right.
And I'm going to repeat that, because I think that's a very significant statement to place in our hearts and our minds. Live each day as scrupulously honest as possible. So I just put that out there into the universe for those of you who hear it, choose to use it, pass it along. It's been very helpful to me is all I can say. And I try to build on that every minute. You know, I do some work similar to yours. I take care of mostly people in their 80s and 90s. And I have one dear lady, she asks me every week, what's new? And I say every minute. And, you know, it's true. And people smile when you say that. Every minute is new. Every minute you have is brand new to do with as you choose. And that's a responsibility, but it's also a joy. So with that, you know, with that in mind, I'm really glad to, I say thank you again for asking me to be on the show today so that I can, you know, put some of my perspectives out there.
Well, I think those are good perspectives, and you could probably do a whole show on just, you know, like the work that you've done with intention, and probably teach a class on that, because it's an incredible process. And I think we need more positivity and more energy directed to the things that we love, the things that we need, not the material things. Michael Franti always, you know, he's made a comment in several songs, you know, the things that really are precious are the things we see without eyes. So, you know, I really love that whole, it's like a force field. I just consider
it. Yeah, I know he's one of your favorites. Yeah.
It's a force field. It's a force field that we put out there. If we're intending to walk, you know, a beautiful path for that particular day, and we're intending it before we even leave the house, then that's what's going to happen, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah, it's a
yes,
force field we
absolutely
put around us.
Absolutely.
Like,
and we,
you know, people
truly,
will say,
we do have,
you know,
truly
what
do
about the
more
white light? And I go, well, that's the same thing. It's the same process. So
right.
I love that whole idea.
And we really, we truly do have that power to make a difference. For those who sometimes, and I think we've all been in this position at one point or another, who feel dejected or powerless, you do have the power, and often in small ways. And sometimes the power is given to you in such a unique and special way. For myself, I can say I felt a very powerful moment when I was standing in the fields last week picking green beans and cherry tomatoes were starting to come in. And I stood up straight in a hot, breezeless field, and all I could hear was the bees buzzing, the Melissa. And something spoke to me, and I knew the moment was special. But every moment is special. Every moment is new. So,
wow,
just
I
keep
like
saying that
that
to yourself. Yes, it's beautiful. It was just one of the most wonderful things. And one lady that was next to me, she says, you know, my boyfriend thinks I'm crazy to come out here. He says, you can go and get the tomatoes at the store. She says, he doesn't understand. It's just not the same. She said, I come out here and peaceful. And you
yeah
have to ask yourself in your heart, when was the last time you really felt peaceful? And that truly
yeah
is something you can give to yourself.
Yeah, because I'm, you know, I'm rushing here and there, and most of my day is just, I'm in rush mode or panic mode. And
yeah,
and if I can get into a de-stress type position, I feel much, much better. I mean, I just
yeah
physically, spiritually, everything. But when I'm rushing and I'm in panic mode because I'm trying to get somewhere on time, I would rather just stay home if that's the case. Whatever I have to do out there is not important if I have to put myself under that kind of stress level, you know?
Yes.
So that's
yes
that's kind of how I feel a lot of the time, and that's why a lot of times I'll just opt to stay at home. But,
yes,
you know,
and
some
that's
of
good
us,
you know, if you need that, that's not hedonistic. That's necessary, you know? What is it, you know, if you're having a busy day, it's okay to take out an hour, but if you're having a really busy day, it's okay to take 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, you create that atmosphere, you know. It's like with our jobs, you know. The thing is, when you're going to see this individual who cannot walk to their kitchen and make their breakfast, who cannot get to the bathroom unassisted, you know that you need to be there, you know. And so you make your day, you keep yourself well. You start your day early and calmly, and you get yourself there safe as safely as you can, because it is a commitment. You know, it is a commitment to our fellow beings, you know. And I'm generally up 3 hours before I have to leave the house in the morning, because that is a quiet time for me that I, you know, I choose to give to myself. People say, why do you get up so early? And I say, because it really puts me into my day in a peaceful, serene manner. You know, I ran, and if you take your time, because you never know, the last 2 days I ran into a detour, and it's an area that's not in New Jersey. I usually say there's 20 ways to get everywhere, but there are some areas that you do have to take the long way around if you can't get that one route through. And this was an area like that. And fortunately, I saved myself enough time that I was able to get there in time. And, you know, probably the most beautiful thing that has happened to me this week, and I say this with all humility, is to have one of my ladies look at me and say, I feel better now that you're here.
We have Joanne on the line. So Crow, I want you to stay on the line if you want to. You're more than welcome to stay on the line. Joanne's on with us. She's going to tell us a little bit about what she does. Can you hear me, Joanne?
I can hear you. That was such a sweet story.
Thank you, Joanne.
Crow, meet Joanne.
Hello to you.
Hello to you. And Anita, it's great to talk to you again, too. I really enjoyed our conversation last night.
Oh, Anita, you are a gem among gems.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm honored to be on the show. And I'll leave you with love, my regards to Leon, and have a wonderful interview, Joanne.
Thank you. Pleasure meeting you. You're going to leave us?
Thank you. I'm gonna put the radio on. I'm gonna listen to it on this end. Will you want me to stay on, Anita, or do you want me to go off? It's up to you. I'll leave it up to you.
If you want to stay on, you're more than welcome.
Let me stay on, and I'll sit here, and if I feel I need to interject, I'll call for something.
There you go. Jump right into the conversation. The more the merrier.
Thank you, Joanne. Thank you.
So, Anita, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I had a kind of a chaotic day, but I've de-stressed a little bit, and I have to, when this show is over, I've got to get in the kitchen, and I've got to take all the things that I bought for food and actually turn them into food. So I'll be cooking most of the night or preparing food for, you know, like the next week. So,
nice.
So I do that at night because that kind of thing calms me down, actually, working in the kitchen. It's very elemental. I just find that it really does help me relax to know that I'm preparing food and I'm not doing any jarring or canning or anything complicated like that, not that late at night. So tell us, Joanne, about what you've been doing. We know that the whole political system has turned to... I don't want to say the word.
Yeah, well, we can just leave it at insert word here. Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And we're all working to try to change things, but, you know, so many, many people out there think that we're way beyond the tipping point at this point now.
No, we're the Americans. Yeah. We're not beyond the tipping point. The biggest mistake we're making right now is allowing this cabal, this regime, to separate us. They're dividing us on all kinds of lines, and it's ridiculous. Like, all right, the race wars, you know, they want the whites fighting with the blacks fighting with the Asians, the Hispanics fighting with whoever they're trying to pit them against, you know, gender-specific issues and things like that. Anything they can use to separate us, they're going to use.
Or distract us, because they do a lot of that, too. You know?
Yeah, they do. They got us fighting over some advertisement. Like, mm-hmm. and they spend how much media time on this advertisement? It's bogus. Get over it. Move on. You know, that's the way I look at it. You know, keep going. But let's talk about the Occupy kids for a minute. When they first started, those kids were really, really sincere. They definitely want to make a difference in the world. But pretty soon you had them hijacked, and you have all these different organizations, and then everybody's claiming them. Even Elizabeth Warren up in Massachusetts tried to claim them, saying that she began the movement. That's not true. And now, you know, everybody's just dissipated. They're everywhere. Each one has a different agenda now, and they're breaking up off into smaller groups. And that's by design, too. That's a way to eliminate them. The smaller the group, the less powerful they are. The Tea Party. I love the Tea Party. I mean, it's a bunch of little old ladies, you know, going down to the town hall, trying to make their voices heard. Government belongs to those who show up. And they know that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's not a sport.
It's not.
Yeah. And all government is local. Let's use Massachusetts again. If everybody in the country wants to help Massachusetts one way or another, they can donate money, they can make phone calls, but it's the actual people in Massachusetts who go to the polls to pull those levers. So
All
politics is local. And I've been to
right.
town hall meetings where two or three people will show up, and they might not want to be the people that you want in charge, but they showed up. So guess
right.
who was elected? Them. You know,
right.
we were very lax in keeping control of our government. We are a citizen's government. The people that are running us right now, they're no better than you or me. They're no smarter than you or me. They are no more connected than you or me. What they are is motivated. They showed up. And
yeah.
we took our eye off them. You know, my father owned businesses all my life. And he said, you can't be an absentee boss. If you don't show up, you're going to get robbed. And that's true. And that's exactly what happens in government, too. But this government is completely out of control, man. They have gone bonkers. Between the
war, the money, the cronyism. The actual election process and the laws, all, you know, that involve elections at all levels, from president to federal to state to county to city, it's all bastardized. You have to jump through hoops to run for local office. You know, it's really to the point where that's one of the reasons why people don't run, because they figure, you know, they're way beyond, they can't jump through the hoops, or they don't want to.
Or they'll destroy their family. If there is any bit of dirt or any type of infraction from the time you were in kindergarten, they're going to find it, and they're going to use it against you. I mean, look what happened to Sarah Palin's family. Or look what happened to Hillary when she was running against Obama. And the people that were voting for her, they were called rednecks and racists and dumb hicks and... I mean, come on. This is not how you talk about Americans. Absolutely
right.
not. You know, and the office requires a little bit of decorum, a little bit of statesmanship. This has been like a frat party for, what, 2 decades now?
Yeah,
if you
or
look
even
into every
more.
One of our, every one of our regulatory commissions is completely corrupt. Every single bill they pass, you'd be lucky if maybe 20% makes it to the street. By the time everybody, if they pass a bill, let's take the farm bill, for instance. The farm bill had less than 20% of anything to do with the farm. The other 80%
right.
was all stuff that was thrown in there.
Now, we've got a caller on the line from area code 870. I'm going to click them in and
sure.
see if they have any
I
questions.
I bet you that's my co-host, JoJo.
Oh, okay. Oh, she's gone. She just... JoJo,
oh, I know what happened. You know what happened? You know what happened?
Huh.
She tries to listen in, and her phone automatically presses 1, so when you open it, you're going to hang up. She probably had nothing to say. She was just calling in to listen.
Well, I hope she calls back if she does want to ask a question. So if she hears that, I hope she does call back. But I went to click her in, and she was gone. Maybe, you know, she's listening online, so hopefully.
Yeah,
but,
well, she's, you know, she'll call back in, and she'll listen on the telephone. But don't open up her microphone. And if I'll keep my computer on, so if she wants you to open the microphone, she'll send me a quick message, and then I'll let you know to open it.
I asked a question in the chat room, too. So for anybody out there that is listening, if you don't have the chat room, refresh your page. And it should pop in at the very bottom of the page, and just feel free to type in a question, or, you know, if you want to call in, the guest call-in is, the number is 213-816-0357, so feel free to give us a ring. But go ahead, tell us, oh, here she is again. Let me click her.
All right, JoJo, if it's you, say hello, and then...
Hey, JoJo, is that you?
Yeah, it's me. I didn't press 1, though. I was just trying to listen.
Did you have anything to add?
I have no idea. I don't know what you're talking about. I just turned it on or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, good. Well, then we'll turn the mic back
then.
Over to Joanne, and she can.
Okay.
She was talking about the farm bill. So,
oh yeah, I know
we'll
about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll let you continue at the farm bill.
All right. Anyhow, like I was saying, only 20% ever even makes it partially to the street. But by the time the local governments get the money, the little pittance that they do get out of the 20%, even those politicians get greased. So the money never goes to where it's going. Look at these green energy loans. There's $1.5 trillion that went to big donors, big bundlers. They set these up as dummy companies. They were supposed to go broke. See, these people donate all kinds of money to the politicians, and the politician says, okay, we're going to pay you back in a roundabout way. So now they put in for this green money. They're going to have all this renewable energy that they know nothing about. They haven't even developed a solar panel. We did develop the solar panels through General Electric. And once they were making money, General Electric buddied up with China. And now they're making them for $3 a panel, where in America, you can't do it for less than $6. So they already knew that up front going in. Now, they get a call, you know, I got a bunch of money, buy into this dummy business. So let's take Solyndra for an instance. So you got this guy, Kaiser, who's a big donor. He buys into Solyndra. Before he even puts a nickel into it, he makes this sweet bankruptcy deal that when the company goes bankrupt, he gets paid first. So now all the money comes in. But then you have Joe Biden's son, who's a lobbyist. You have Podesta's sister-in-law, she's a lobbyist. You have Bloomberg's girlfriend, who's a lawyer. They all get paid. They were the ones that worked on it. You have Nancy Pelosi's husband and son take a piece of it. Harry Reid's son takes a piece of it. Even Robert F. Kennedy Jr. got a piece of it. And, of course, Al Gore and Fisker and all those people. So now they run the business a little bit. The big money comes in. Then they get the second amount of big money. And then the company goes bust because they've already split up all that money. And the company was intended to go bust. So now they go bust. The donor gets his initial investment back. And the taxpayers are on the hook for half a billion dollars, just with the Solyndra loan. And they have done it, every single one of those loans that we investigated. My team does investigative research. I have a vast team of fantastic researchers. And that's what we do. We look into everything. We don't buy anybody's story. So every single loan that we checked was the exact same thing. Every one of them was a money laundering scheme. The other day, Obama comes out and says that he wants $7 billion to do his energy, his renewable energy biofuels with the military. Well, the military was buying $59 a gallon renewable energy fuel from another donor of Obama's. $59 a gallon, and he was making them pay for it. Now, you know he's cutting the military budget in half. The sequestration is looming as we speak. So now, out of that military budget, they have to take this $59 a gallon for renewable biofuels because it's a donor to Obama. That's why they're making them buy that. And then Hillary comes out and she says, okay, when she was in Rio, we're going to do some renewable energy and we're bringing money over to Africa. Guess who companies are running over to Africa with their tin cup to do these companies? Kaiser, Fisker, Leo Gerard. Already got the unions all set up. Now, that she's with the State Department. That money's got to come out of that State Department budget, too. So what are they going to have left for the military?
Not much.
No.
Uh-huh. You know, the thing about
it is... My mic's still open?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. I can still open.
Oh, okay. Oh, I wasn't sure. And then, you know, the other point is how much money we're doling out to DHS. You know, it's like we're taking from the military and piling it on this massive, massive DHS Homeland Security fund that's buying all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that comes out of the military budget, too. See, those are the type of things they're not telling you.
Right.
You should see the investigative work we do. Anita, you would be amazed at the stuff that we find.
Tell me about DHS. We talked a little bit about that in our call earlier. But tell me a little bit about what you've been able to find out about DHS.
DHS is the most corrupt agency we have. It's turning into...
I read one time it was one-third of the national budget, but, you know, we don't have a budget, so I don't know where that number came from, but it's a vast amount of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not only that, but they're turning against the United States citizens. Remember, when Napolitano came out with her list of who the terrorists were, you noticed that extremists and, you know, like Islamic extremists weren't on that list. You were on the list, though. I was on the list. Christians, pro-lifers, political activists.
Retired military.
Returning military, retired military. People who are constitutionalists. Yeah, those are who are on the list. So the other night, the morning, in Colorado, Obama made a speech, and he said, guns belong in the hands of soldiers, not criminals. And everybody would say, okay, yeah, that's a great thing. But then when you come to think about it, who he's just identified as criminals, then you say, oh, wait a minute. And we do have a constitution, whether anybody wants to believe it or not. And we have been very, very lax about enforcing this constitution so much that you're right, they have bastardized it. And this DHS, they have Viper teams on the road down in Tennessee. They're at the airports, at bus stations, bus terminals. And they're filling up little old ladies. But if you are dressed in a burqa, they can't touch you. So any moron in the world would say, well, then I'm just going to put on a burqa and sail right through, and I'll take my bombs with me because they can't touch me. That's just stupid. Now,
right.
And as far as little old ladies, yeah, the one that's 93 years old, they made her stand up out of her wheelchair. The woman's crippled. She had a back brace on, which TSA had mistaken for a money belt. And my point is, so what if it was a money belt? It's none of their business. You know, it's not illegal to carry a money belt. In the meantime, it ended up being her brace. So now, while they're aggravating this little old lady, 10 people could have walked by in burqas with bombs. Also, children. Children
Talk about that a little bit. Because that's gone way, way out of control, as far as I'm concerned. Tell us a little bit about that.
There's mad video out there of these children crying, screaming, being held down by their parents to let this stranger touch them. You go through this kid's whole life telling this kid, no strangers are supposed to touch your parts, your mother or your doctor. That's it. And the kid believes you, and the kid loves you, and you are the most powerful and the most important person in their life. Then what's the first thing that happens when you go to an airport? You hand this kid over to a stranger and get their parts touched. And that's a psychological thing. That's telling that child that the parent is not important, the government is. And that puts a big rift between a parent and a child. The trust is gone.
It's right
there,
no
instance.
Longer
the
parent's
role. I think
exactly.
It's a real important.
That's exactly right.
You know, and that is really, really scary. The parent no longer has control over what that child is experiencing, and you know, I'm sure the parent feels powerless, as does the child. So that's
not the only way they're messing with your kids either. Look in school. Look, if you sent the one lady sent her kid to school with a salami sandwich on wheat bread, an apple and an apple juice, and the kid's lunch got taken away, and they made the kid eat cafeteria nuggets. They didn't even have the they didn't even try to call them chicken nuggets. They called them cafeteria nuggets.
Yeah,
you know,
so it's some kind of mystery meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pink
lime.
Oh, my
God. That's nasty.
And they took the kid's lunch away that the kid's mother made for it. That also interferes with your parental relationship with your child. The school is more important than your mother. The school knows better than your mother. That's the type of stuff that this is going into that little kid's head.
If I had a child right now, I would not be putting that child in public school. I would be homeschooling child.
They force vaccines on your kids, too, whether you believe in it or want it or need it or whatever.
Yeah, well, we got that. You know, we older people, we got the polio vaccine when we were, I can't remember if I was in first or second grade. I think I was in second, maybe third. But I remember getting the sugar cube that had the red medicine in the middle of it. So you could look at the sugar cube and you could see the red stuff in the middle of it. And they literally lined us up, and each kid got a sugar cube.
Yeah, and JoJo's a nurse, by the way.
Yeah, that was, I can't remember, like I said, it was second or third grade. It was early 60s, but yeah, they've been doing this for a number of years, this forced indoctrination. And I did get the smallpox, as most of the people my age and coming back from that time, you know, we had the smallpox. One thing that's really interesting about the one I got was I got mine on my upper left thigh. And I know very, very few. I know one other person who had it on her upper left thigh. And the thing that was common between us was we came from the same geographical location in the United States.
Where was
she
that
had
at Métis. The time?
Yeah, she had Métis blood, you know, mixed probably native blood. I have probably mixed native blood on my mother's side. And the doctor said the same thing to this woman's mother that the doctor said to my mother. Well, when your daughter gets older and she wants to wear an evening gown, she's not going to have an ugly old scar on her upper arm, you know.
Well, what state was that?
The gal that I know was from Minnesota, I think, and I was in Michigan at the time. And we were about the same age, and we were, like I said, I don't know if she was on a reservation, but I certainly wasn't. I mean, you know, my mother was from Quebec, so Métis blood really was kind of, you didn't admit that you had it because you were Roman Catholic and you just didn't admit that you had that blood, because that would also state that, you know, your ancestors fooled around with the native populations, so they didn't like
Let me just ask you this: was this particular ancestry or whatever, were y'all predisposed to keloid scars or something?
And what are those?
Keloid scar is like you get a little small cut, and if you're predisposed to this keloid, whatever it is, genetically, then your scar is really like huge, 10 times the size of a normal, well, not I say a normal person, a normal scar, and they're real ugly scars. I mean,
I wasn't predisposed to it, and I don't know if this other gal was, but she never made any kind of comment to me that she was.
Yeah,
so,
I was just wondering if that was the reason or something. I mean, that's the only thing I could
think
of being the reason. And if that was the case, if it was to hide your scar, why wouldn't they have given it to you on your hind end? And because what if you wanted to wear a bikini when you got older? You wouldn't want it on your thigh either. So why didn't they put it on your buttock?
The whole purpose, the whole reason and excuse didn't make any sense, really. You know, it just didn't. And it, you know, but at the time it satisfied this woman's mother and my mother, and it was never brought up again. But I thought later when I met this other gal, when two of the other things that were interesting about the two of us was she's empathic, I'm empathic, and neither of us have had cancer. So I thought, That's interesting. You know, that we were trying to find our commonality. And those were some important common factors that we both had. So, she had cancer in her family too, and so did I. But she and I both had never had it. Had really never been ill, you know, seriously ill. So that was interesting too. So these things have been going on for a long, long time for whatever reason, whatever purpose. And I really do believe with all the vaccinations with the kids now, there's a depopulation event taking
place. Now, back in the day, when we were younger, I'm sure that the folks were sincere. I don't think it was part of any nefarious plan. But now they've realized that people will line up like sheep and get these vaccines anytime they have one of those bird flu scares or, you know, whatever pig flu or any other flu that they can come up with. And you know there's thimerosal in there, there's mercury in there, and they're related to, they've been connected to autism. A lot of people say no, but that's not true. You have normal children, then they get these vaccines, and all of a sudden now they're autistic, and they didn't start out that way, then there's an issue there.
There's something wrong with,
Mm-hmm. And just look at the autism now. It used to be like 1 in 1,000. Now it's 1 in 100.
Yeah. I was having this conversation with someone the other day about fluoride, and he and I are close to the same age, and I was analyzing it, and I'm like, well, you know, I graduated high school in 73. They really didn't start pumping fluoride into everything until the 70s. So all my life I didn't have fluoride, my growing up years. And it's all of a sudden you just see generation after generation that seem dumbed down. And then, no kidding, 2 days later, Harvard put out a paper that our whole IQ level had dropped.
Another thing about fluoride is it mutates testosterone. Women have testosterone, too, but it mutates the testosterone, and it's affecting men more so than women.
Probably,
I believe, is part of the depopulation, because why would you mess with their testosterone, which would in turn affect their sperm?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense unless it's going to, like you said, it's going to have something to do with some type of genetic effect.
You know,
and
who are these eugenics anyhow? Who gave them the right to make these decisions to depopulate anything? Maybe they should start with themselves.
Something that this derived from the 600 scientists that were brought over here after World War II from Germany, and were given I can't think of the right word. They were Operation Paperclip. They were 600 scientists were brought over here.
Amnesty, right? They were given total amnesty when they came, right?
Right. That's thank you. There's the word. And they were pretty much it wasn't a real public thing. I want to say they were, but that might not be true, but they were kept, you know, on the lowdown. And
they gave them new identities and were allowed to continue their work.
And they developed all kinds of stuff that to this day we still don't know what all they developed, because they were some of the biggest and brightest scientists.
Now, in the chat, somebody from Atheist Radio is on, and they have noted the following. The viruses are mutating, but they have been using the same strain of vaccines for decades, they've been using the same strain for vaccines for decades. Strains used for vaccines have to be up to date to be effective. They only care about having something to sell.
You can get a flu vaccine, but that particular year there may be 10 different strains of flu. You're just going to be a luck of the draw if you got the right vaccination. You don't know. And, you know, I've been a nurse 25 years. I've been vaccinated for flu twice, period. I don't take them. And I didn't take them before I even knew all what I know now. I just didn't take them. I didn't need them. I had a natural immunity, so I thought, from working with sick people all the time.
Well, it's crazy, but I was being in the military. When I was in the military, I was forced to get, a flu shot every year. I think I only had 4. And I think I had 2 when I came out. And then I read the report on, I think it was people that have gotten them every year for so many years, they have 50% chance of getting Alzheimer's, and they listed a couple of other conditions. And I said, these people must be nuts if they think I'm going to get another one. One of the things that I've noticed every time I go to the VA hospital, every single time, have you had your flu shot? Do you want your flu shot?
Uh-huh.
Had them mark my file, no vaccinations. The last time they gave me a vaccination just for the shits and giggles, it was for, and they do it, if you have diabetes, they do it. It's, what is it? When you step on something, when you puncture something.
Tetanus shot.
They gave me a tetanus shot, and I had some other appointments that I had to do that day. So I was walking all over the VA hospital, and my arm swelled up like a balloon. And I went back to the women's center, where they had given me the shot, and I said, I am not having any more vaccines. Don't ask me if I want any more vaccines and mark my file. And you know what they put on my file? That I was
non-compliant.
Non-compliant. Yep, getting a letter.
Yeah, non-compliant. Yep.
You could lose your insurance over that.
So you could put that shit anytime you want. You could put that word whatever on anything.
Yep, and you can lose your medical insurance for that.
Yeah, but my my decision for my health care is still my decision. I am the ultimate
for
decider.
Now.
Yeah, for now.
It's not going to be your decision
they couldn't have
much
just
longer.
Written, they couldn't have just written refused flu vaccine. Had to say non-compliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Non-compliant.
I don't blame
me
for being upset.
Non-compliant
yeah,
means that
I was at the point
good.
Where I just said, whatever, you know, but I'm not, don't ask me because I'm not going to get any more shots and I'm just not going to do it. And the other thing was the other thing that I have to get for my medical license is the Hep C, which I've always refused because we still have the option to refuse that and we can still be medically licensed even though we refuse.
They got some whack job up in New Hampshire who was just giving everybody Hep C at a catheter lab. He was jacking himself up with the needle and then reusing it on patients. And he himself had hepatitis C. They've already found 30 people that were infected by this guy. And they're looking for like 1,000 more who were possibly exposed to it. So,
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's another one, a scumbag. But GlaxoSmithKline, the big pharmaceutical company, just had to settle a $3 billion lawsuit. Now, they're not going to eat that cost, so want to place a little wager that we're going to have some sort of an outbreak pretty soon?
Oh, yeah. Well, I agree
something
that
they're
that's
gonna have
always...
To...
Yeah, that's always been rumored that it's going to happen, and every single year that goes around. But, you know, this is a way to control... And that's ultimately what the powers that be want to do is control, and it's a good way to do it. It's a good
you
way
know,
to
and that's exactly the point that we should be talking about. Who are these people who need this
who
much control over you or me or anyone else? You know, you told me yesterday that you'd lean libertarian. Libertarians are pretty cool. You know, you do your thing, I'll do mine, and we'll get along just fine. I love that about them. They're also, you know, cut back on the laws. We don't need all these laws. We have a constitution. That's the laws. You know, and all these extra laws and extra things that you're doing, we don't need any of that. We already have laws. You know, like now they want to make laws about the long guns because of these mass shootings. Well, hello, everybody. Murder's already illegal. You know?
Yeah,
so,
right. Murder, the laws should be enough to incarcerate people, you know, that do...
Yeah, we don't need specific laws for specific guns or specific laws for specific people. Look, they just did, Obama just did with his executive order about different discipline for minority kids as opposed to Caucasian kids, non-minorities.
Speaking of executive orders, there's a new one out today Kelly sent to me. It has to do with women's rights, women's inequalities, abuse to women... It's that topic. I've glanced at it. I haven't studied it word for word yet.
Well, thank you. I'll check that out. However, that executive order where, you know, they said that more minority kids were being disciplined and expelled from school than non-minority kids. Well, if you look at the overall population of public schools, it's a pretty good sizable amount of minorities and non-minorities. I think it's almost even if you ask me. But you know what that does? That brings back segregation. Think about it.
Yeah.
You have different sets of laws for different sets of people according to race.
Right.
That's segregation. I thought we were over that.
Yeah, I thought we were over that, too. We have another comment in the chat from Atheist. He mentions the vaccine for mumps was recently exposed in a news story to have been taken from a researcher's daughter 30 years ago. A new outbreak is possible, and the current vaccine does nothing to prevent it. Interesting.
Yeah, you know, we just had an outbreak of up in Hillsborough County in Florida, Atheist Radio, pertussis. You know, all these babies get this DPT. That's another thing, too. Why are they giving babies shots? I know of a baby who has been tested for hepatitis because his mother had hepatitis. And he was born cesarean because they were trying to avoid that. But he's been testing positive. However, they keep telling this woman, you can't go by the results of this test because he's still working off of your immune system until he's 18 months old. Well, if he's still working off of his mother's immune system until he's 18 months old, why does he need 6-week shots and 2-month shots and 4-month shots and 6-month shots?
Well, wait, yeah. It's even better than that. But hang on, my nephew is 6 and have a baby, and he's medical like me. He's checking in everything. He found out when his baby's born and they take that baby to the nursery, he's getting a hepatitis B shot right then. And I'm like, what? I mean, he's an hour old and he's getting a hepatitis shot? So my nephew's going to plan a meeting with the pediatrician before the baby's born and say, no, you know, we're not giving him, he's not going to be around anybody with hepatitis, so he doesn't need a shot. You know, we'll talk about it when he's 2 or 3 or before school or something, but he ain't getting it as a newborn baby. It's insane.
Yeah, that's dangerous. Oh, my God. That's really scary.
Anita, did you get the links I sent you?
Here's another thing in the chat from Atheist Radio again. The Nazi doctors, scientists that you mentioned earlier have been absorbed into the medical profession. They have been caught doing experiments on people disguised as treatment. The company Pfizer, Pfizer, was started by the Nazis.
He's right. Oh, she's right. Atheist Radio, you're absolutely right. And you're also right
that
they have been absorbed.
And then he said they used the Catholic Church that they took over to shelter the company and export it to the U.S. And then my friend is on, and she said, she says Pfizer also does pet vaccines as well. Well, you know, I can only say that I'm pretty sure that the pet, anything they do for pets really is a way to test these drugs. And
well,
vaccines.
They test it on humans, too. I personally had a friend back in Massachusetts. She's still alive, as a matter of fact. Her father successfully sued the United States government because they were using his brother, who was born mentally retarded, as a lab rat in those MKUltra experiments. I thought that was tinfoil hat stuff until I delved into it. Oh, that was very, very real. And by her being successful, or her father, rather, being successful in his lawsuit, that was an admission that they were doing
mm-hmm.
that. And did you get
the, yeah, and the prisoners,
did you get the links I sent you earlier today?
Oh, did you send it to me?
Yeah, Anita, I sent you the one about the undocumented kids.
Oh, yeah, about the children, and I responded. I wasn't sure if you saw my response because you might not have been home.
Yeah,
but,
I was running around a bit.
Yeah, when I was looking that over, I made the comment that this is like the re-education I'm reading it from the Facebook thread we had. This is like the re-education camps for the indigenous peoples back in the early part of the 1900s. They actually literally went up into the 1950s. This happened in the U.S., Canada, and also parts of Australia. So, you know, the re-education camps for the indigenous to basically bring them in, indoctrinate them into, you know, the Caucasian/Western ways. And so they would lose their culture. They would lose their faith and everything about their culture, their whole...
Yeah, well, I'm thinking this is a nefarious situation that they have here. I don't know if they're going to use them for some sort of slaves or if they're going to use them for experiments or if they're indoctrinating them and training them to be little warriors. Would you mind if I read a little bit to your listeners so they know what we're talking about?
Yeah, please, please.
All right. At Lackland Air Force Base, they're housing children, detained immigrant children who are unaccompanied. Check out this story, guys. Feds moving 100 escorted children were stopped by Border Patrol. San Antonio from the Associated Press. Federal officials are making an Air Force base near San Antonio the temporary home of 100 unescorted children stopped recently by the Border Patrol. The first of the children arrived at Lackland Air Force Base on Monday, the San Antonio Express reported. The children are under the charge of the Unaccompanied Children's Services Division of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. So those are civilians' charges. Says Lackland's spokesman, Brent Boyle, tells the newspaper that the base is simply providing the temporary housing in an unused 1,000 student dorm with showers and drilling and dining hall. Now it goes on about HHS has taken in 7,000 to 8,000 illegal immigrant children in each of the past 3 years. So 7,000 to 8,000 times three, that's 24,000 children in the last 3 years. And it says, but sheltered more than 4,000 since October. And it's seen a 77% jump. It also says that the children have been distributed among 13 states, and they're being seen by psychiatrists and stuff. It says two-thirds of the children are from Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras, while 12% are from Mexico. About 80% are boys, with 83% of those boys being older than 14. So you're talking military-age children here. You know, when Obama droned that Al-Awlaki kid, the 16-year-old American, the son of the alleged terrorist, he was in a schoolyard playing soccer with a bunch of other boys. Those other boys were killed, too. But instead of calling them civilian casualties, they called those boys that age, the other 16-year-old boys, enemy combatants. So why are these children being called children? And the kids that are getting droned at the same age, why are they enemy combatants? Now, what are they doing with
these
kids?
From what I heard, the law is once they have dropped a drone on any place over there, by that I mean, you know, Afghanistan or any of the war theater front, the actual fronts, wherever those happen to be in the world, those
people that
they drop the drones on are automatically called enemy combatants. That way they don't have to use the term collateral damage or injured civilians or killed civilians, or they don't have to use the, they can't use those terms, or they don't have to use those terms in the media. And that is, to me, in my mind, that's a manipulation of the media, and the media themselves, if they were in any way honest, would stand up and say, no effing way.
Exactly.
But this is just beyond the pale. This is
yeah, well, to
horrific.
The media, it's all, to the media, they're going to suck up whatever this regime tells them to. Media means entertainment. They're not the free press, the news that the Constitution protects. They are a for-profit entity, and they're loyal to the client, not the Constitution. So do not trust the mainstream media. They are entertainers. Now, these children, are they in need of rescue? What's happening with these children? Who's their guardian? Are they in contact with their parents? Do their parents even know? Have they ever, you know, I mean, you just don't come up with 24,000 children from Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras, and nobody's missing these kids. And Sebelius, she's got some questions to answer. Because, you know, who are these people? What are they doing with these kids?
To her? Has anybody put them to her and told her that she needs to answer these questions?
I don't know.
That's a good question. I mean, that's a good question itself. Is this being done in her name? Is her office doing it, and she's not even... She doesn't even know that this is occurring, or, you know, is she just signing off on paperwork? Say, you know, maybe the paperwork says the children were killed and whatever, and these are children we're taking care of, and da 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 da. Does she, you know, I have to wonder how much is actually hidden from some of the people that are up at the top. Is this stuff hidden? They couldn't possibly know about all this shit and sleep at night, you know?
They can if they have an agenda for these children.
Yeah, I just don't have answers to those questions. But there's no way, myself as an elected official, even though I'm on a very small, you know, Hillsborough County Soil and Water Board, if I was up a little further and had to sign off on stuff like this, there's no way I could do it. I can't, just my own morals and ethics would lead me to not even dirty my hands with anything like this. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Couldn't do it.
Now, look at the Fast and Furious situation. Just a couple, well, actually on our show, we broke that the Fast and Furious was a hell of a lot bigger than what they're trying to put it off as. We know that the government our government was arming the Sinaloans to fight against the Zetas, the Bertram Leas, what's the other ones, the M-15s and all of them. We were purposely arming the Sinaloas. Not only were we arming them, but we were allowing them to bring C-130 cargo planes full of drugs all the way to Chicago. We know they were working through banks in Chicago. We know that a lot of the politicians in Chicago knew all about it. So did the DEA. So did the White House. Know all about what's going on. It started in Chicago with this situation. Now, look at the location of where these drugs are coming from. Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala. Jeez, that's where those kids are from. Are we holding kids hostage?
Yeah, that's a good question. Are they?
Yeah.
There's two things that come to mind when you mention, or three things when you mention the amount of children and where they're coming from. And I'm thinking pedophilia, number one,
yeah.
Baby selling, or children selling.
Well, you're not
going to
sell 14-year-olds. No one's going to buy them.
Yeah, like you said, MK Ultra. And using
right.
them as soldiers for later, like, you know, actually brainwashing them with the MK Ultra program. Or,
exactly, just like Holmes and just like this new guy and
yeah.
Blattner.
So and then there's other nefarious things to consider, like what if they brainwash these kids and they let them loose into public places? And you know, they do the things that these lone gunmen have been doing. It's always a lone gunman story. I don't get that, you know.
Except after they do the lone gunman, then they kind of tell you about a person of interest that they were looking at, or they've arrested somebody's girlfriend. Well, if it was a lone person, why do you have another person of interest, and why are you arresting a girlfriend?
Yeah, and like, for instance, when you go back on those videos from the Sixth Temple, the eyewitnesses that were there said there were four shooters.
And I believe it.
But the media didn't say that. The media said, of course, it was the lone gunman theory. So
yeah, well, they're distracting you with
happy.
Wade Page. They're distracting you with Wade Page. So they want you to make sure that you just look at this guy, Wade Page, and they've built up a resume for him that he was a white supremacist skinhead. No, he wasn't. But you know, he had tattoos. You know, they made him a bad guy, too. However, you also need to know your victim. Inside
right.
that theater was a filmmaker who was shot. He was a Sikh, and his son was outside. This guy was working on holographics and a film called Sirius, S-I-R-I-U-S. And it was to make the illusion of an alien invasion. And he was killed for that because some of the information that came to him was leaked, classified confidential information. And he used it in that movie he's writing. Well, not anymore.
Yeah,
also,
not anymore.
Look at the Giffords shooting. Look at the terror in Tucson. Right after that shooting, you had Mueller was sent down there. Holder was sent down there. Nappy was sent down there. That happened in Tucson, but they all went and cleaned out this Phoenix field office for the ATF. Why was that? Because they knew that we were going to find out that Fast and Furious was going on. And know your victim. Judge Roll was killed in that, wasn't he? He was going to tell Giffords that he was asked to sign off on a wiretap for the Fast and Furious. Also, 2 weeks prior to his death, he had ruled against Obama in a immigration case. He was the intended victim, not her. They didn't know whether or not he had gotten a chance to talk to her yet, so they took her out, too, so they thought, but she survived. But Judge Roll was the intended victim in that.
And one of the reasons why she probably decided not to go back to Congress was because she really just wanted to wipe her hands clean of the whole thing. And not be involved anymore, and I can't blame her for that.
Nope.
You know, it seems like she has her mental faculties. She just has, you know, some issues with communicating. But you know, I saw the interview, it seemed like she was very sharp, and she knew what you could tell she was thinking behind the words she was saying.
Yes.
So I think more power to her, and she should live her the rest of her life out with grace and dignity and you know, many, many blessings.
Yes.
But that's what happens when you get into politics, because it's a dirty business and you get your hands icky.
All right, well,
and you
get, you're right. Let's talk
about
Leitner.
And you get your hands icky. Even if you don't want them icky, they're going to get icky. And, you know, that's people send me things all the time, and there's, you know, I, frankly, sometimes I don't sleep at night, you know?
Yeah.
But
I don't sleep
I've
either.
Made up my mind that if I run for any office again, I'll run for something local, but I'm not going to go any higher than that. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's just I don't want to get my hands icky, and I don't want to be in compromising positions, and I'm not going to be. So, and back in 2016, I mean, when we think about 2014 and 2016, we don't even know what the political situation is going to be like at that point. It
You're
might
right.
be so bad there might not be any of us around, and none of us might be running for office, for certain sure, you know. Tell us a little bit about, I know you know some information about the Rex 84 programs.
Oh, I'm sorry,
can
I didn't
give
hear
us
you.
Information about Rex 84 and how it would affect Floridians in particular?
Oh, I'm not really familiar with that as much as I could be to actually talk about it. But
uh-huh.
I will be, because you've brought it up. But tell me a little about it.
Well, Rex 84 was a program basically years old, but it's about, you know, the incarceration of regular citizens in re-indoctrination camps. And
oh, okay, NDAA, and yeah, and I could talk about that. NDAA, imagine that, indefinite detention.
Right.
That is not in our Constitution. You cannot deny a man or woman life or liberty without due process. Those SOBs we have in power, Holder to be particular, he came out and said that an executive review constitutes due process.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the Fifth Amendment doesn't guarantee judicial process. I have a question about that. Why do we have a judicial branch if the executive branch can just deem you guilty without benefit of a court, a lawyer, or any exculpatory evidence, or even access to any evidence at all, period. Like the guy Al Awlaki. How they did it and how they screwed us was they take this guy and they tell us, oh, he's the boogeyman, he's the bad terrorist, he's Al-Qaeda, he's going to kill everybody, you know, hide your women and children, and, you know, he's out there, boo. So we're going to indefinite detain him, or we're going to kill him. They took him out. They killed him. Even though he's an American citizen. Even though that they had to have had somebody on the ground giving coordinates to tell you where the guy was so you could drop a drone on him. They could have had him. They did have him in custody twice and released him because this was a setup. They let him get all the way over to Pakistan, then they droned him, and he's an American.
Right.
Well, that lets people say, well, okay, it's okay to go around the Constitution this time. No, it isn't. Once you allow them to go around it once, forget it. Why even bother having it? I mean, it's just, and they call it extra constitutional. Since when is there even such a word as extra constitutional? And then indefinite detention. That is cruel and unusual punishment. It's against the Fourth Amendment. You have to be charged. Most, actually, states have laws that within a certain amount of time, if you are inmate, you have to be charged with a crime or you have to be released. But they can hold you. There's one guy in Gitmo right now. He's been there 11 years without being charged. So, you know, people disappear off the streets all the time. Now, I don't think that that's right. Anybody who is an American should not believe that's right. If you can get
what
the guy.
What do you think about, well, this we can bring this up because it's directly related. We have the laws, but in the courtroom, the laws aren't kept. So unless you have a lot of money,
The law doesn't pertain to you. The laws won't help you because
right.
you can't even get representation these days unless you have money. So we do have, you know, these laws set up for us, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, you know, our Declaration of Independence. But if they're being violated and we don't have money to get representation, where do we go? I mean, I'm just putting that question out there because those are the questions that I have. I was almost arrested in a courtroom.
Well, they're going to put you in a debtor's prison. Look at this health care thing. If
yeah.
you don't buy health care, you are going to pay a fine of $1,000 or more, depending on the percentage of your income. But the minimum is $1,000. And you're still going to be forced to pay for the insurance. Now, the
right.
penalty can accrue interest compounded daily. So that $1,000 penalty could be $5,000 by next year. And if you
right.
can't pay it, they're going to put your butt in jail. We're going to have debtor's prison.
Well, this is what they're doing now in the black communities that people don't even realize. Well, not just black communities, but white communities too, but specifically in black communities where a lot of the black, young black men that have records can't get jobs. They
mm-hmm.
can't go into the military a lot of the times. And they can't if they have a serious crime record. And a lot of times they're dealing drugs because that's the only job they've got to support
mm-hmm.
their family. So they end up in prisons. The prisons get overcrowded. They end up back out with on probation. So
and it's
the
government's
the
drugs.
Yeah. So the latest is if you violate your parole by not getting a job, then they're going to fucking pick you up anyway. Excuse my French.
Yeah, of
they're
course they are.
They're going to pick you up and throw you back in jail because you violated parole by not getting a job.
And they get money for every butt that occupies a bunk in the jail.
Exactly. So if they can't make any money off you in probation because you can't go to the meetings that you have to pay for,
mm-hmm.
you know, to go.
Yeah, you're still worth $190 a day to them at the prison.
Exactly. So it's they'll get in their car and go get you because you violated parole by not getting a job, and they'll lock your ass right back up.
And they have criminalized you. You don't
right.
even have to leave your house to be a criminal. All you have to
right.
do is not be insured. You know, that's extortion in the street. Money for nothing.
Right.
They
right.
want you to pay for a product that you don't want, and if you don't buy it, you get penalized anyhow. Does this make sense to anybody? And, you know, that Roberts ruling was actually correct, and someday it's going to go down as a good thing. But right now, of course, nobody's seeing it. It's the way it is. Yes, Congress does have the authority to tax you into oblivion, but you have the authority to stop anybody who would dare try it.
Right.
So that
if you
was
have
the
money.
No,
if
or
you
if
have
you
money.
Have friends. Instead of letting these people divide us over stupid stuff, like race, we talked about race last night. If that's not the most stupid thing to fight over, first of all, it's not a personal choice. I got to choose my race the same day everybody else got to choose theirs. Come on. I mean, just think about it. When the fight's over, you can fight your little brains out. But when the fight's over, no one's going anywhere and nobody's skin is going to change. And you're all going to be worn out and beat up and bloodied and you're still not going to change anything. So how about we get over that and wise up and start
right.
learning to work together. And don't let somebody tell you, and it doesn't matter what side of the aisle it is, whether it's a skinhead or whether it's Zulu Shabazz. Don't let them divide us. You got Obama making rules for people according to their race. That is segregation that he's bringing back. Look what he did to those Occupy kids. They come out with a story 2 days ago. Obama told the cops to back off, and he was on your side, and, you know, it was him that told everybody to lay off. That is the biggest crock I have ever heard. Those cops
yeah,
didn't lay off. Those
either.
Kids were surrounded with cops. There were more cops than there were protesters. That was a practice at martial law. They wanted to make those kids, you know, dirty and nasty and smelly, and they were the bad kids. And, you know, and the radical organizations all co-opted it. You know, like guys like Steve Lerner and Leo Gerard and Trumka and even Pelosi. You know, people like MoveOn.org and Hayden and all those people. Then, you know, as soon as it was a movement, everybody tried to jump on that bandwagon and steal it out from under them. The original kids were sincere. But those original kids, they got nowhere. If they went on a march, the cops marched with them. They were not allowed to leave their area. They were in there in barricades and cages. That was a test at martial law. And now he wants their vote.
Right.
They got absolutely nothing. What they got was hijacked.
Yeah,
you know?
I believe that happened. Our movement here in Tampa, the Occupy movement, they've been asked to leave the park. It was a citizen's park. It was Joe Redner's park, but they were asked to leave by September 15th. I don't know the reason of why they were asked to leave, but they are allowed to be there during the RNC. But they have to be out of there by the 15th of September. So,
You know, I mean, that's futile anyhow. You know,
right.
Urban camping isn't changing the world. Let's come up with a better way of doing things.
Better,
you know, because while you're sitting there in the middle of the street and holding up signs, people are riding by and laughing at you when you could be doing other things. You could be making phone calls. You could be knocking on doors. You could be making so much noise. You could be protesting at the White House or at the Capitol or at the Supreme Court. You could do it with a whole bunch of people hanging around and getting dirty and bugs and everything else. That is not changing anything. So there are better ways to be activists. You made a statement. You were there a long time. Now take it to the next level and start uniting with each other. They want to keep the Tea Party and the Occupy kids apart. Well, you know what? Those Occupy kids and those Tea Party have a hell of a lot more in common than they do of opposition.
I have to agree with that. I have to agree with that because there's just too much. There's too much that's broken, and the Tea Party has called attention to a lot of it. The Libertarians have. The Green Party has.
The Green
Party
got hijacked, too. They are using climate change for everything. You know, Obama started the Chicago Carbon Exchange, who then in turn merged with the European Climate Exchange. So now they're selling carbon credits. They're all in it for the money. Al Gore's in it. Obama's in it. Obama's wife's in it. Bernadine Dorn, Bill Ayers. They got the startup money from the Joyce Foundation, where they all sat on the same board, including John Ayers. That's Bill Ayers has a brother. That's another thing we do research on. We find all these radicals when we pull them out of the shadows and we expose them. But that's where that came from. And he started the small school workshop. And that started Baccalaureate, International Baccalaureate and the Advanced Placement Program. And that's the program that Jared Lautner attended. And now they are going through UCLA and doing a Dream Academy. So all those illegal kids I just told you about that they have care and custody of, now they're going to be able to go to school and be trained by these radicals. One of them is Tom Hayden. So, you see, they're running these little farms.
Yeah. People farms.
Yeah.
People farms. Yeah, that's scary, very scary. It's going to be
Look at Rahm Emanuel's brother, Ezekiel Emanuel, Dr. Zeke. He's one of the biggest eugenics around. Bill Gates is another one. Bill Gates' wife was at the London Eugenics Council conference last week, talking about eugenics.
Yeah, and they've been the biggest perpetrators of the vaccination programs, paying for them and all of that, making them happen, really.
He studied under a Nazi. Ezekiel Emanuel studied under one of those Nazis that got brought over here.
Right.
So he's continuing the program.
Wow.
And look at Planned Parenthood. Now, I know everybody's going to lose their mind about this, but I got something to say about it. Planned Parenthood started with Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger, if you all look up the Negro Project, it's no accident that most of those Planned Parenthoods are in minority areas. The idea was to eliminate them. Look at what they did to those girls down in South Carolina. They sterilized those kids. They were 11, 12, 13 years old. You know, one girl was going to a fertility clinic and she was trying to have a baby and they said, well, you had your tubes tied. She said, no, I didn't. She was brought into the hospital with appendicitis. They tied her tubes while they had, because she was black and poor.
Wow.
Now, that's a true story, and I'll send you a link on that. And there's a bunch of them, all in the same area, too, that are now realizing that they were part of this program. That was through Planned Parenthood. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she was one of the ones who wrote the Roe versus Wade ruling. Two summers ago, she was asked, does she still support Roe versus Wade? She said, yes. She says, the reporter asked her, why did you vote for it? She said, because it was supposed to get rid of people that we didn't want too many of. That's a Supreme Court justice saying that. They were supposed to get rid of people we didn't want too many of. You know, so here's all these people saying, oh, Planned Parenthood is the greatest thing. Yes. I mean, this should... I'm not into the abortion thing. I'm not even going to get into that whole subject because that's a losing battle. But look at the history. Okay, they're trying to kill babies, and specifically minority babies. That's part of the eugenics program. And, you know, you want to believe it, fine. You don't want to believe it, that's fine, too. I'm not going to push it on you. But that's a true story. Look it up. The Negro Project, Margaret Sanger, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg saying it was to get rid of people we didn't want too many of. That's a quote verbatim. The other day, there was a story about an abortion doctor. He came to the door. There was protesters outside, and they were saying, you know, how bad he was and all of that. He says, you know, as a taxpayer, I don't want to support these babies. Do you want these little ugly black babies? Ugly black babies. How dare he? Those babies are dead. Ugly black baby. And I swear to God, he said that. I put that all over my page. I put that all over Twitter. I put it all over Facebook. How dare he? You know, this is what you're up against here. You know, it's not the Sandra Fluck with her contraceptions and everything else. That's not what it's about. It's way bigger than that, and it's way bigger than her. Even she's being used like a dip.
Now, was this put on YouTube, the fact that he said this?
Yeah, it's over on my page. I'll go find it, and I will send it to you. But
yeah,
that's a true story.
Atheist Radio's made a couple comments in the chat. They've said suppression of science is critical to their agenda because they use the Catholic Church that they took over for financing their agenda. Scientific knowledge at a certain point would kill religion.
Mm-hmm.
It is a known verifiable, it is a known verifiable fact that the Catholic Church was taken over by Nazis. The current Pope was verified to be in Hitler's Boy Scouts and suspected of assisting in genocide. Well, we knew about that when he got in there because there was pretty big media coverage on that. And then Atheist Radio also mentions if there really was a nuclear bomb that works the way they say,
mm-hmm.
we would not be here now. That's interesting. I don't know enough about nuclear science to make a statement like that, but, you know.
Well, I know about nuclear science. I didn't know anything about, you know, the Catholic Church and stuff like that. I've heard a lot, but not anything that I can personally verify. But
right,
I've heard
right.
it all. I did hear it. I heard about the Black Pope, and I heard about the next Pope is going to be the Antichrist and all that. But I just, you know, I'm not that familiar with it that I could comment on it. I just... You know, there's just so much going on, and it's so crazy, and they have us so divided. I mean, next thing you know, they're going to be dividing us by tall people and short people. Who knows?
Yeah, and I'm just waiting for the boom to fall, and I think the next big thing that's going to happen, of course, as I was talking with Crow, because Crow did drop off, and your friend JoJo was her name? She dropped. But Crow had been talking to me earlier, and we had been talking about the food shortages that I've been noticing. She
mm-hmm.
hasn't noticed them up where she is, but I've noticed them in the stores here. Especially,
do you know who the head of the Food and Drug Administration is?
Who?
He's the former CEO of Monsanto.
Oh, yeah. I put a little notice on my Facebook page about that guy. I can't think of his name, but yeah. We're starting to see these food shortages here in Florida.
Well, of course we are. The genetically modified seeds don't reseed. The first growing, they grow beautiful and they flourish and they look great. But when you take the seeds to run your second crop, they don't work.
Yeah.
So you got now the land and the soil is all polluted because those genetically modified seeds also have pesticides in them. And you can, you know, you have to, if any of you preppers out there are listening, make sure you grab yourself a few packets of heirloom seeds, non-genetically modified. They call them heirloom. They're a little more expensive, but they will reseed. You will be able to replant. But,
Monsatan guy, I call it Monsatan, his name is Michael Taylor. The guy we're talking about, the one who...
Yeah, I sent you that link, too, by the way, about the ugly black babies. It's on your Facebook messages.
You know, I got... This was really crazy, but I got some kind of notice just recently. Somebody said to me about the term gator bait, and it was really true. There were too many stories that I was getting about this, that in the old days, after slavery and, you know, before, you know, black rights and equality, if we have any of that really now or if it's just a facade, but there were black babies that were used for gator hunting. They would go into the community.
Well, now they're worth a lot more. Do you know the amount of money that an aborted fetus brings? Planned Parenthood's not making their money on the abortion. They're making it on the fetuses. The fetal tissue goes to all different laboratories. They use fetal tissue in taste tests for Pepsi. They use fetal tissue for aging products, for beauty products, hair care products. And, of course, they use them for fertility and for all kinds of different science.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A late-term fetus is worth a fortune. The longer they can keep that woman pregnant, the more money that fetus brings.
And you notice, of course, there's all these crazy people that are trying to kidnap women that are in late-term pregnancies, and, you know, they're trying to, they'll kill them and steal the baby, the unborn baby, right out of them, cut the fetus out of them.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so this is going on, too. I think it's just I think what's happened to people is this is just a type of madness. It's just a type of, you know, I heard somebody call
it. You know, that's scary, too. That's scary, too. But who knows if they're using these kids to harvest organs?
Yeah, we don't know.
And anybody who thinks that that's far-fetched might want to look up the black market organ donation. One kid sold his kidney for an iPod.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, but they got black market organ harvesting going on, too.
Yeah. So it's an end-time madness. And it's, you know, I tell people all the time, hold the ones you love very close because we don't know how much longer we're going to be able to do this.
Do you want to know how sick these people are? John Holdren, Obama's science czar, he once said at a conference and in his book that women, single women who refuse to abort their baby should have the baby seized. Are you kidding me?
That's really gross.
Seized. And who's going to seize them? Who's going to raise this baby? John Holdren said that. He's the science czar. One of the most dangerous people on the planet is Cass Sunstein. And his wife is almost as dangerous. They are demented, twisted, sick people. And who put these people in charge? Because they come out of Harvard University? I'll put my IQ up against anybody at Harvard's any day. But
yeah.
I'll tell you what. Who put these people in charge? Who made Bill Gates boss? You know, he wants this one-child policy. His wife has two kids. All right? Cass Sunstein, he's another one. His wife just gave birth to their second child, a girl. Samantha Powers just had a baby girl in May. But they have an older son, too. I think he's like six. His name is Declan. All right, so they got two kids, but they want a one-child policy.
So it's okay for them to have multiple children, but for the useless eaters like us,
mm-hmm.
we're only allowed to have one.
Right.
So, yeah.
And that's a little of a glimpse into the world that I live in and how deep we dig. We know every one of them. And you got to watch them. You got to watch this baccalaureate program, the advanced placement program. You got to. I'm very, very concerned about these undocumented kids.
Yeah, and what's going to happen with them? How are you able to keep tabs on what's going on with them? Have you got somebody giving you information from a local news source down there, or
we have people in very strategic places. We have people all over the place. We have a vast network of researchers. As a matter of fact, we met each other on Twitter and Facebook. And, you know, we'd put out little links here and there and stories here and there and some of the research. And, like, I've done 157 articles myself. But, you know, through our team and through meeting each other and their placements and their businesses and careers and titles and whatever, we have a vast network. We communicate. I would say there's probably about 4,000 of us that I have access, instant communication for information. Some of them are in military. Some of them are in regulatory commissions. Some of them are in courthouses. Some of them are just on the street. Some of them are in newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody chips in information, and we go over it, and we go through it, and we share it with everybody. And, you know, we were talking about the Solyndra-style loans and the money laundering, and that made it to other friends who had bigger avenues. We've been talking about how none of these bankers are going to be prosecuted. None of them. Not Goldman Sachs, not Wells Fargo, not Jamie Dimon, not Corzine. Do you know why that is? Because when Holder and Lanny Brewer, Cole, were at Covington and Burling, Jamie Dimon was their client. Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Lehman Brothers, Merrill Lynch, those were all their clients. Tony West, he's number three. Bank of America and MF Global were his clients. Christine Lagarde, everybody thinks she's French, right, the head of the IMF? That girl came right out of Chicago. She might be French, but she worked at Baker & McKenzie in Chicago, and HSBC was her client. You can't prosecute your former clients. So they make these sweet little deals, you know, little slap in the wrist and a fine, maybe a donation to some charity, and off they go. The underlings, they'll go to jail. But I guarantee you, Jamie Dimon, Corzine, none of them are going to go to jail. Soros isn't going to jail. None of these big money people are going to jail. You got Lagarde. You know, you all must have seen something was wrong with the way Dominique Strauss-Kahn was ousted from the IMF.
Yeah, that was a setup. Definitely.
Of course it was. And as soon as he's gone, they got a Chicago girl in there.
Right.
You know, back to Chicago. They're laundering money. They're running drugs. Their former clients are the biggest crooks on the planet, these global bankers. And none of them are going to go to jail because the way that this law, our laws are set up, you cannot prosecute your former client. So it's never going to make it in front of a judge. You know, the reason Bernie Madoff went to jail was because he was screwing rich people. If he was screwing farmers like John Corzine was, he never would have went to jail.
Well, I would say keeping an eye on these people, that's what we have to do. We have to keep an eye on them. We have to know what they're doing. And,
yes.
And I'm glad you have a network to do that because, frankly, I can't keep track of all these people. It's just way too much. And then you throw the finances in it, and that's not something I really keep an eye on. But I do keep an eye on political trends and things like that, the environment and things like that.
Look at the Gulf of Mexico. Look at that big oil spill.
The Gulf of Mexico, the news, anything that's newsworthy. I am very worried about these children. And anything that I hear that involves children, you know, I have a network of people that I deal with regarding that. And a lot of people think, you know, that DCF and all these different agencies are working for the best interest of the child. You really
they're not.
People need to reevaluate that.
No, they're not. As soon as they screw up, boy, they bury that information so far underground, you have to dig.
Right, right. In the meantime.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are sincere. I mean, I can't blanket all of it. All right, look, like I was saying, look at the Gulf of Mexico. That was no accident. Look at the result
right.
of it. They have stopped the drilling in the Gulf of Mexico, except now they are allowing Communist China to drill in the Gulf of Mexico in the exact spot where the spill was. That just came out yesterday. Look at his executive order for the Great Lakes. It included the Great Lakes, the Mississippi River, the Chesapeake Bay, and the Gulf of Mexico. What they have done is they are using algae for biofuel. They seed it up in the Gulf of Great Lakes. It runs down the Mississippi, picking up nutrients and all the other stuff along the way, and it deposits in the Gulf of Mexico, at the mouth of the river. And there's always algae bloom there, and they harvest that algae for their biofuels. They wanted to turn the Gulf of Mexico into a big algae farm. NASA has been working on the project for quite some time. They have a whole area of the Gulf that's off limits where they're growing algae. Obama even wanted to move them out of the Mississippi for his algae program. He doesn't want oil, period. He doesn't want oil because he's not going to make any money on oil. He owns a carbon exchange company. Now, in the Chesapeake Bay, they have an algae growing season there too. They also have a coal-fired plant and a nuclear power plant in there. I'm expecting an accident at one of those because they want that Chesapeake Bay for more algae farming. The Gulf has three growing seasons. Chesapeake only has one, but it's a more inlet area where algae will grow really thick in the Chesapeake Bay. That's what that was about.
Yeah.
And the core exit was designed by a company called Nalco. It's
right.
toxic. It sticks to the oil and it sinks it down to the bottom. But the reason they use it is BP would have had to pay by the gallon for any oil that would have been skimmed off the top. They would have been able to measure it and say, okay, you owe me this much because you spilled this many gallons. So now they want to hide it. They put this poison on it. It has polyethylenes in it. It's got nitrogens in it. And nitrogen actually helps algae grow, by the way. It has destroyed the wildlife, the fishery, the water. There's microbes in there. A little boy just got meningitis from having one of the microbes go up into his nasal passage, and it ate away his brain. All this stuff is fed by this core exit. Core exit is a company. It was made by a company called Nalco. Nalco started with a grant from the University of Chicago.
Yeah, they're in Chicago area. I knew that.
Yeah.
They have three distribution centers in Louisiana alone.
Yep.
Three distribution centers.
Yeah, well, you know who was in the University of Chicago at the time was Obama's boy, Khalidi.
Oh, interesting. See,
yeah.
The plot thickens, doesn't it?
Yeah, and all you have to do is if you know a little bit of information and you can connect all these dots, you'll start to see the bigger picture. And every time we find something, we realize we don't even know what we don't know.
Right. Now, Atheist Radio has added a few more comments, and I want to read a couple of these.
Atheist should call in. He's got some good stuff going on over here.
Yeah. I'm not sure who they are. They said uranium. Oh, the last comment was, if there was really a nuclear bomb that works the way they say it did, we would not be here now. And then the effect is not easy to accomplish, and it's not as disastrous as they claim. It is uranium doped with a very small amount of plutonium laced with napalm. Then,
you know, there were high levels of radiation in the Gulf of Mexico, too. So, yeah, that could be uranium, too.
Well, drilling mud that they use in the wells is nuclear. It is radioactive because I've read some of the ingredients to that on somebody sent me the MDS sheet, so I was
mm-hmm.
able to look at some of that. Also, I have to. Oh, they said that the show stops sometimes. It stops and goes. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you have to refresh it. Blog Talk does that all the time. It stops, you know, it tries to buffer and refresh. You have to actually reload your page to get it to work again. Happens to me all the time on my show.
Atheist Radio says they're very clever, even use cardboard tanks and other diversions similar to movie props to create false scenarios, a tactic they are now using in places like Iraq. They told the pilot, hang on, I'm losing my page here. It keeps scanning down. They told the pilots who shot down the carpet bombers that they were defending against the Japanese and had the U.S. carpet bomber planes decorated as Japanese planes. Boy, oh boy.
Could be. That's what they're trying to do with this fake alien invasion. And the guy was writing a movie about it, and he's dead now. He was in a church at a Sikh temple.
I don't put anything past anybody, and I'm not in a situation to doubt anybody anymore, even if it's like a claim that sounds extremely wild and really off base. I go, wait a minute, I'm not going to discount it anymore. We're just not in a position to discount these things anymore. And there's got to be a grain of truth to it, especially if I'm hearing it from three or four different people. Then I know that it's probably true. Three or four unrelated people. So that's kind of how I determine what's probably true and what's probably not true.
Yeah, well, you should see what's going on with the people down here, the miscarriages, the deformed babies, the deformed shrimp and seafood, the dead dolphins. You know, and people are mistakenly thinking that it only affects the Gulf. Bluefin tuna spawns in the Gulf, makes its way around through the Florida Strait, and heads straight up the Atlantic coast all the way up to Nova Scotia, Maine, you know, New Hampshire, all those places where they tuna fish. There aren't any tuna this year. There's very few of them. And the same last year.
This is the thing that we haven't even touched on about what's happening with Fukushima. So, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm not even buying any produce that's growing in California or Oregon or Washington. I'm simply too paranoid because...
Well, you know, don't even worry about it because it's made its way all the way to Vermont.
Yeah, right.
They are detecting radiation from Fukushima. They can tell by the Celsius numbers, the cesium numbers. But, you know, there's another thing, too. They're talking about this big debris field that's making its way across the Pacific. Well, you don't have a whole bunch of ships and some netting that you could probably, like, round it up?
Yeah, or at least parts of it. We're getting down into the last 2.5 minutes of the show, actually.
This was fast. We didn't even talk about everything we wanted to talk about.
No, we'll have to have you on again, but...
And you'll
have
to be on my
any...
show, too, my friend. It was a pleasure meeting
good.
You.
I'd love to be on your show. Just
please
let me
do.
Know when. But let's do... Let me have you do just, you know, some parting thoughts and comments. Tell us about the show and when you'll be on and give us a little more information so we can listen in.
Thank you. I was introduced to Anita by Proof Negative. He owns Freedomizer Radio. Our team has a show on Freedomizer Radio called Liberty Underground, The Moretti Report. We're on at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 Pacific, until 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Thursday. We do news, special reports, investigative journalism. Once in a while we have a guest, but usually it's very fast-paced current events, and we do some really, really in-depth investigative journalism, and we expose radicals all over the place. We are just a bunch of patriots who come together and share information, and we get it out there. We don't depend on the mainstream media anymore. We are the media. You are the media. And if there's, you know, our show, like I said, it's at freedomizerradio.com. So that's pretty much it. I want to thank you very much, Anita, for inviting me. You're a wonderful, gracious host. And please keep in touch, and I would like for you to be on my show, and I'll come back anytime you want me to.
Oh, great. Well, I want to say thank you for being on. Loved having you. And to JoJo, who called in, and to Crow, who called in, you guys were great. And I did want to say, hit us up on wisewomenmedia.podsteris.com and check out the WePay link to help keep us on the air. We're down to 35 seconds, and you will see us, or you can hear us, next Friday, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, same place, same channel. So,
all right, take care of each other.
And the chat I'll keep open if anybody else wants to chat. So there's a couple things there I haven't read yet, so hit up the chat if you've got any questions, and if you want to address any of Joanne, you can. So good night to all our listeners, and thanks for listening in on the Wise Women Media Radio Show.
And good night, and thank you.
Good night.